sign up.
This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get the home field advantage with healthcare coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've been protecting Tennesseans for 75 years. With Amy Wells, I'm Mike Keith on a late Thursday afternoon, Houston week. I think people like it when we do the little injury report right off the top.
Yeah, I think you should start with that because this one's an interesting one.
Okay, so for Houston, defensive lineman Malik Collins has not practiced the last 2 days with a chest injury. Wide receiver Nico Collins, who has 18 catches for 305 yards, has not practiced either of the last 2 days with a groin injury. Brandon Cooks didn't practice yesterday, and Jerry Hughes didn't practice yesterday as they were getting rest. They were back today. And then A.J. Cann, an offensive lineman who used to play for Jacksonville, now plays for Houston, out today with an illness. Justin McCray, offensive lineman, hand injury, has been limited the last 2 days. Rookie offensive lineman Kenyon Green, shoulder injury, back to practice today. So that's Houston. They're pretty healthy.
Yep.
The Titans, on the other hand, Torrey Carter, neck injury, has not practiced either of the last 2 days. Jeffrey Simmons, ankle injury, has not practiced either of the last 2 days.
Right.
We hadn't seen him.
No.
Ryan Tannehill, ankle, did not practice on Wednesday, was a limited participant today.
That's not bad.
Not bad. Rashad Weaver, back injury, has not practiced either of the last 2 days. Aaron Brewer, toe injury, limited yesterday, practiced today. Dylan Cole, linebacker, hamstring injury, limited yesterday, practiced today. Morgan Cox, long snapper, ankle injury, limited yesterday, practiced today. Nate Davis, who's missed the last 2 games with a foot injury, limited each of the last 2 days. Bud Dupree, hamstring injury, limited yesterday, full participant today. Ben Jones, knee injury, limited yesterday, full participant today. David Long, groin, limited. So he's been limited.
Yes.
Zach Cunningham, elbow injury, missed the last 3 games. He has fully practiced each of the last 2 days.
Great sign.
And special teams ace Joe Jones, knee injury, has fully participated the last 2 days. So
there's a lot to digest.
There's a lot to digest, and there's a lot more to come. And the question now that is on everyone's lips is, Ryan Tannehill going to play?
Right.
I think the legitimate answer is we don't know.
I think that's the only answer you can give because we don't know.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that reinforcement.
I was trying to help you out.
You really did.
Yeah.
I like how you did that.
You're welcome.
The thing about Tannehill, which will be so confusing, is he does not have to practice to play. So they may go out tomorrow and he may be limited again, and they will probably list him as questionable, and he literally will be questionable because he doesn't have to. Most guys, if they don't do much during the course of the week, are not going to play. Ryan Tannehill is 34 years old, and he started 142 NFL games.
He's done this before.
He's done this before. But what it does mean, it's a lot of work for Malik Willis. And I think it comes at a great time in his development to have this kind of work and this kind of pressure.
Yeah, it definitely gives him the opportunity to have a bit of an adjustment in mindset because, yes, every week you prepare as if you will be the starter. Absolutely.
But the truth is you really don't. If you're not taking any first team reps,
right,
you're not preparing to be the starter.
Right. In reality, there is an entirely different kind of workload and function that comes along with getting ready to be the guy playing the game on Sunday. He's working with the ones, like you said. You know, he is taking those reps. He's getting that experience. So even in the event that Ryan Tannehill does end up playing on Sunday, what an opportunity for Malik to have this week of preparation to understand what it's like to be in that role.
To be the guy.
To be the guy. I think it's good for him to have experienced that, experienced the workload mentally, to experience what that requires in terms of how he's processing information, how he's studying. It's a great chance for him to learn. So no matter who is starting on Sunday, I think that it's a great opportunity for him. And after being as frustrated as I know he was with himself after the matchup against the Colts, and his performance in that game, I should say, I think this is a great opportunity for him to really turn the page and move on to the next game.
Well, he's been with the organization for almost 6 months. he did all the things in May and June and then training camp, and he started all three preseason games. But then when September came, he became the show team quarterback. And the show team quarterback, for those of you who don't know, is the guy who runs the scout team. He's running the other team's plays. And Vrabel said it very clearly that they had to get him used to the fact that you're running the other team's plays with the intent of beating the first team defense. At first, I think he was just running the plays and he's like chucking it all over the yard and thinking, man, it doesn't really matter because this doesn't count or whatever. It all counts.
Right.
And so he has really stepped it up. Now it really counts. He's handing off to Derrick Henry. I don't know that he's ever handed off to Derrick Henry.
No.
Maybe he hasn't a drill.
Yeah.
But he's on the field with the regular tight ends and the starting wide receivers. And it's like, whoa. And so if a practice doesn't go well, that's on him because he's the guy who dictates the offensive practice tempo. I think it certainly none of us want Ryan Tannehill to be hurt. But I think for him to get the opportunity to be the guy in terms of preparation and to see what that's all about, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
After 6 months.
Yeah. It's coming at a good time in his development.
Development. Sure. Yeah. Well put. All right. So we'll see. We don't know.
No.
We don't know about Jeff Simmons.
We sure don't.
And that one makes you nervous.
Yeah.
He got rolled up pretty tight there in the ball game. That head was smart.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was feeling good. It didn't look like it was a comfortable experience for him. And I mean, we don't know anything. We're not his doctors. I haven't even seen him. So I have no idea, but it's definitely something to watch because, man, he is such a big part of this Titans defense.
He's a beast.
And he's been playing so well.
He's another one, though. He doesn't have to practice.
No, he doesn't. He just has to
go
out there and be
mean. If he gets to Saturday and says, I can go, or gets to even Sunday morning and says, I can go, the decision, though, with him comes down to how many snaps can he play? Because you can only keep up 48 guys. You're probably only going to keep up 5 defensive linemen, maybe 6. But you lose a guy after 8 or 9 snaps.
That's tough.
And then potentially you've lost him for 2-3 more weeks. With the bye being over with, if there's any question, are you smarter sitting him for one game and then hopefully getting him back against Kansas City? Not because you think Houston is inferior to Kansas City, but because you're saying for the long term of this, we don't want this to linger and we don't want to be in this situation.
That is an interesting point that you make about the bye week being over. Everyone kind of looks to the bye as, okay, if we can just get there,
sure,
you get a minute to breathe, you get a minute to get people healthy. Now that this has passed, your next real opportunity is after the Green Bay game when you get a couple extra days.
Right.
So that's your next kind of area of relief, next place to take a breath.
You don't want to lose Big Jeff for a month.
No, I don't want to lose Big Jeff for 5 minutes.
I understand,
to be clear,
but I'm saying, right, if you told me you've got to go try to win a game without him, or you're fearful that you may lose him for a longer period of time, I just think you err on the side of caution, especially understanding he's going to want to play.
Yes. Yeah, he's a guy that you're going to have to say no.
You're going to have to say no.
As opposed to letting him. I mean, he's a tough cookie, man.
So a lot of connections between the Titans and the Texans, but most of those connections are on the Titans side. Like, for example, Texans from the state of Tennessee. One, Jalen Reeves-Maben from Clarksville, played at the University of Tennessee. He's a backup linebacker, came over from Detroit. Titans from the state of Texas.
I'm sure there's tons.
Ryan Tannehill, Big Spring. LaRaven Clark, Brian. Salina, Jordan Ruse. Cleveland, Kevin Strong. Dallas, Aaron Brewer. Denton, Mario Edwards Jr. Houston, Joshua Kalu. Klein, Randy Bullock. Nacogdoches, Josh Thompson, the new defensive back. This comes from the Texans release, by the way. I'll give them credit. So you have 9 Titans who are from the state of Texas, 1 Texan who's from the state of Tennessee. Coaching connections. There's nobody on the Texan staff who has a Titans connection. Nobody.
Seriously?
None.
Surprising.
On the Titans staff, head coach Mike Vrabel was there from 2014 through 17. Linebacker coach Bobby King did two long stints there before joining the Titans this season. Passing game coordinator Tim Kelly was there from 2014 through 2021 and is now on the Titans staff. Titans secondary coach Anthony Midgett worked with the Texans 2014 through 17 and then 18 and 19. Quarterback coach Pat O'Hara was with the Texans 2015 through 17. Defensive coordinator Shane Bowen coached with the Texans as a defensive assistant in 2016 and 17.
So we've got a few.
Oh, and it gets better. Former Titans on the Texans roster. Can you name the guy?
Former Titan on the Texans roster. Hold. Okay, just tell me because we don't have all this
Desmond
time.
Desmond King. Former Texans on the Titans. Ben Jones, DeMarcus Walker, Dontrell Hilliard, Dylan Cole, Lonnie Johnson, Randy Bullock, Terrence Mitchell. So there is a lot of Texans influence on the Titans. There's very little Titans influence on the Texans. I thought it was really odd.
That's very interesting. Usually it goes a little bit more both ways. The one that doesn't surprise me at all is all the Titans from Texas, because that's, I mean, Texas is such a football state. You always have.
Well, it's a big state too.
It's a big state, but it's a big football state. And so you have all kinds of players always coming out of Texas. Half your roster is always Texas guys. That's just the way the world works. Texas and Florida.
And Georgia. California.
Yeah. Like, you know the big states where you're going to get most of your roster. So that doesn't surprise me. The coaching one is kind of hilarious. Like, that's a little comical how many guys that we have from there. But it's all about coaching trees and where you've made those connections and where paths have crossed. Very interesting. All roads lead to Houston.
All roads lead from Houston to Nashville in this case.
Right, that's true.
By the way, so the best Texans running back of all time played at the University of Tennessee, but he was not a starter at the end of his career at Tennessee. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Arian Foster.
Oh, yes.
The funny thing is, I believe the Texans now have the best running back that they have had since Arian Foster in the rookie Damian Pierce.
I would agree with that.
Damian Pierce is really a wacky story because he goes to Florida, and in his career at Florida, he never carries more than 106 times in a season. Ironically, through six games for the Texans, he's already carried exactly 106 times.
That's crazy.
But they never used him that much at Florida. He became a viral sensation when he scored a touchdown against Florida State with his helmet off. He was breaking tackles. If you ever look that up, look up Damian Pierce, no helmet versus Florida State. And, I mean, it's impressive. The truth is, though, it didn't count.
Because he didn't have his helmet on?
At the moment you lose your helmet in the college game, the play is blown dead. So I think it was blown dead at the 2 or 3 yard line.
That's disappointing.
But it was crazy fun to watch.
I'm sure it was.
Now, here's what's really funny. So I'm at the Senior Bowl, and they're doing the running backs against pass rushers pass protection drill. This is comical, normally, because A, most of these backs have never blocked anybody in their life. Okay? So they don't know what they're doing. B, a lot of the backs today are small.
Yes.
You know, you don't have those Bo Jackson-looking guys anymore who are 6'1", 6'2", 230, 240. I mean, most of the dudes are 5'8", 175. They're bigger than that. But they're 200 pounds maybe.
Right.
Maybe, on a good day. And so they don't know how to block anybody. They're not very big. And then they have these dudes running straight at them. And they're like, you could just see them freak out. They don't know what to do. But this is important for the scouts to see, because this is the biggest reason that running backs don't play as rookies. They may get the quarterback killed.
Right.
Because they don't know which way to go in pass pro a lot of times. They don't know who to pick up because they've never been involved in this. And they don't know how to do it.
Right.
So what you're looking for is you're looking for a guy who shows some traits. It's like, okay, we may be able to teach him. Damian Pierce gets in this drill, and somebody runs at him. And he hit this guy so hard, it was just absolutely brutal.
Really?
And I looked at my sheet, and I said, who is that guy? Well, it's Damian Pierce from Florida. And all of a sudden, all I can think about is Marshawn Lynch. Because there are some backs who are just really mean. I mean, just they're just violent people.
Yeah.
They play running back so they can hit you first. And that's what this guy does. And he's unbelievably physical. He's 5'10", 218. He will remind you of a guy who played at the University of Tennessee and then played for the Titans for a while named Travis Henry 15, 16 years ago. He is violently physical. So they've got a back. And what's interesting with this team is, so I was with Lovie Smith at Tennessee. I know Lovie Smith. I know what he's all about. He was a secondary coach at that time. But philosophically, what he wants to do is he wants to play defense. He's going to limit you from big plays, and he's going to try to make you kick field goals.
Mm-hmm.
And then on offense, he's going to want to run the ball, do some play action things, and have his quarterback not take many hits. And he's got Davis Mills, who I think is a good quarterback. Davis Mills doesn't run. His longest career run is 11 yards against the Titans this year on January 9th. So he doesn't run.
No.
He's just a big guy who stands in the pocket and throws it. He was the number one quarterback in America coming out of high school. He's from Atlanta. And he ends up at Stanford. He does okay at Stanford, but the pandemic hits and all this stuff happens. And he'd have been the first quarterback taken easily had he come back for one more year at Stanford.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Oh, I think he goes number one overall in this past draft. So they've probably got a little something. Now they got a back. They got Brandon Cooks. They got Nico Collins. I don't know if he's going to play or not. But, you know, they've got a few dudes. And then they play Lovie's defense. They've been in every game. But with a running back, they now have a chance.
Yeah, they're starting to get the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get the pieces, you can start to form a foundation. And it sounds like that's kind of where they are right now. They've got that foundation. They've been in close games. They've got a lot of fight to them. They show up for all four quarters. That's most of it. Like, that's most of the recipe right there.
It's just about pulling it together.
Now it's just getting it all together and putting it over the top. And we hope they do that at some point down the road, not against us.
No, they're in the division, so we hope they never do that.
Well, I mean, good on you. But You'll win a couple games, but not against us.
They probably will.
Yeah.
You're right.
They will do that at some point.
Yes, they will.
Because they have the pieces.
By the way, need to mention right now during the OTP, this especially for the OT people. Dunkin' has a new rewards program. It's known as
Dunkin' Rewards.
Very good. Well done.
We're on the OTP. I'm good with clever names.
You're good with clever. Dunkin' Rewards are rewards you can really use. No, really. Save them, stack them, use them how you want. Use your points to get a donut, maybe to get yourself out of some sort of trouble.
Okay. I always say.
Or like I do with Ashley Farrell, I bribe her with pumpkin donuts.
Yeah, it works every time.
Ashley, thanks for getting here 3 hours before me to set up the TV shoot.
Yep, here's a donut.
Use your points to get a free coffee, a token of appreciation for your friends.
That's nice.
Makes you more popular when you walk in with coffee. Iced lattes, breakfast sandwiches, whatever. You can redeem your points for the Dunkin' that keeps you running. Join today on the Dunkin' app. Start saving and stacking your way to free Dunkin' Rewards. I have the app. I order on the app. I walk in. My order is ready. I enjoy visiting with the folks there. They're nice people. They always do my coffee correctly, which I'm so appreciative of.
That is rather nice.
And they're always excited about the Titans.
Yes.
Always very fired up about the Titans.
I'm checking to see how many rewards points I have.
I have 617 right now. I checked this morning. Yes.
Well, that sounds like a donut for all of us.
I think you get a donut for 150 points, so I theoretically could get 4 donuts.
There's 4 people in this room.
Well, but maybe I don't want a donut. Maybe I want a breakfast sandwich.
Well, you could get a breakfast sandwich. You know, I would rather have a donut.
Well, maybe I'm doing it for me.
Maybe.
All right, so as we move through this edition of the OTP, there are a couple more things we have to do. The number one thing that I need to do is remind you that Sunday's game is 3:05 Central Time.
That's important.
So wherever the OT people are, Sunday's game is 3:05. Amy Wells, Rhett Bryan, Titans Countdown at 2 o'clock Central Time on your favorite Titans radio station. There are exactly 50 of them, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
5-0.
I like that.
Yes.
We appreciate all 50.
We have great stations in great markets supported far and wide, all over the state of Tennessee, Western Kentucky, and a good bit of Alabama. Really, Birmingham North is where we have the majority of our radio stations. But all the way to Scottsboro, Alabama.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
I love it.
Hang out in Scottsboro, Alabama sometime.
So the neatest thing about Scottsboro, Alabama, and I haven't been in a couple of years, but they have the lost luggage outlet.
What is that?
So everybody who's lost luggage, Jeanette Morley is nodding. So they have a warehouse in Scottsboro, Alabama, and it is filled with things that people have left at the airport or on a plane or just never claimed. So you can find clothes, you can find shoes, you can find sporting goods equipment. It's unbelievable.
It's like the Island of Misfit Toys.
It was so big, they opened a second location.
What?
So Larry Stone and I went on a trip to Scottsboro once, and it's one of the most fascinating things. Scottsboro is a great town. It's the hometown of Bear Bryant's favorite player when he was a coach at Alabama, quarterback named Pat Trammell.
Okay.
So that's just a little piece. It's right sort of the northeastern part of Alabama. It's not far from Chattanooga.
Okay.
It's right below South Pittsburgh, Whitwell, and in that area.
But, I want to go to this
place. But the OT people need to know, if you want to visit a cool place, and I assume it's still there, then the Lost Luggage Outlet, I can't remember the specific name, but the Lost Luggage Outlet in Scottsboro, Alabama is one of the most fascinating places I've ever been.
And you can purchase this stuff?
Absolutely. They have some sort of agreement with the airlines, and I mean, it's phenomenal. We were there for an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh. Here it is on the interwebs.
What is the actual name of it?
Unclaimedbaggage.com.
Unclaimed Baggage, Scottsboro, Alabama.
Oh my gosh. Buys orphaned bags and gives them a second life.
That's right. It is the Island of Misfit Toys.
Mike!
Okay, so we've told a little story there. Uncle Mike's giving you another tip here on the OTP.
Uncle Mike is sending me on a shopping adventure.
You would, knowing you as long as I've known you, you would have so much fun just seeing what was there. You won't believe what's there.
Some they of have it collections.
Some of it I can't and won't mention, but I mean, some of it's absolutely fascinating.
I am fired up.
There you go. This is the OTP, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Don't get sacked by the high cost of health care. Make Farm Bureau Health Plans your first line of protection. They've been protecting Tennesseans for 75 years. Now everyone in the room is pulling up unclaimed luggage.
We have moved on from this podcast, yes. And now I'm all right. Shopping.
See, I always tell people all the interesting little spots to go to.
You do. You are one of the best people to know when traveling in the Mid-South region.
I love it.
Because you know all the little places.
I do.
You know the best places to eat.
Clanton,
the
Alabama.
The place you need to stop.
Yeah.
What you need to see on the way.
Yeah.
Oh, be sure to stay at this whatever. I mean, Mike Keith is the man when
well,
it comes
I don't
to
know
travel.
About, I don't know about the man, but I've been a few places in a car.
Yeah.
I was raised in a family with a man who didn't fly. And so we drove everywhere. And then Larry Stone and I, and now Rhett Bryan and I, have driven everywhere. I've decided that in 2023, I'm going to proclaim it here on the OTP, in 2023, I'm going to visit all 95 counties in the state of Tennessee again.
In 1 year?
Yes, I'm going to do it in 1 year. I'm going to do it. I'm excited. I've done it. You know, I'm one of the few people you'll ever meet who's been in every county, but I want to do it again in 1 year. I'd really like to have lunch in every county in the state of Tennessee, or at least a meal in every county.
I really like that idea.
I would love to do that. There's so many neat places.
Are they all going to be work trips, or will some of them just be for fun?
It could be for fun.
Okay.
Sure. But they could be work, too. Could be out seeing the radio stations and speaking at the Rotaries and the Civitans. And the.
You're going to put a lot of miles on your car.
That's okay. We can do that.
All right.
It would be fun.
All right.
Part of the reason I'm going to do it is because I know I'm going to be talking about the new stadium.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the stadium thing has blown up so big since the renderings have come out earlier this week. It has been so fantastic to see and hear the reaction and be asked all the questions. The radio stations I've been on, they want to talk about it. The show we did with Keith Bullock, Titans Tonight, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners, we talked about it for a whole segment. It's kind
everybody
of
everybody wants
it's
to talk
the buzz.
About it.
Let me go through the three top questions.
Okay.
Okay. So the three top questions that we're getting, number one is, if I have a PSL at Nissan Stadium, will I get credit for that PSL moving to the new stadium? The answer is yes. Now, there will be some parameters in terms of, you know, did you buy it originally? When did you buy it? What seat did you buy? you know, things of that sort. But yeah, the team, Amy Adams-Strunk is going to give you credit for your PSL.
Right.
She is going to save you dollars.
Which is huge.
I think it's the other thing we get to, and I'm building up in terms of level of importance. That one is really number three.
Okay.
Number two is, what about the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Are the Titans guaranteed a Super Bowl if they build the stadium? And the answer is, they're not guaranteed a Super Bowl.
No, that's not how that works.
That's not how that works. The owners pick them, and the question comes up, does it happen? But I had a chance to interview Roger Goodell when he was here last weekend. Most of the OT people know him as Commissioner Goodell, the guy with the great recliner chair.
That recliner chair.
Do you think when he's inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the recliner will be part of his display?
Yes.
It should be.
I think it should be, too. It was such a huge part of two different drafts.
Right.
So I think, yeah, it's part of the Goodell legacy.
Yeah.
Is that chair.
Well, it humanized him.
It did.
I think that draft, you know, he'd always been viewed as kind of a, yeah, he's a fan, but he doesn't have a lot of personality. And I've done four things with him now. I find him to be a good guy. More of a normal guy than what he appears on TV, which, I mean, he can't really because he's the commissioner.
He has to be very, like, down the middle,
right,
business always. But, yeah, he seems a little stuffy.
But he's all right. Like, I had a chance the other day to meet Katie Hill from the NFL office. She's from Nashville.
Oh.
And she went to Harpeth Hall, and I was so excited to talk about Nashville with her, and her family lives in Cottonwood out in the Franklin area, which is one of the great neighborhoods that ever was. And that was really exciting. And so the commissioner came up and immediately started saying, oh, you're talking Nashville with Katie Hill. And funny.
Yeah.
In a funny way. He's obviously proud of her, but he thought that was kind of humorous. I like that.
Right. Yeah. Jovial guy. But you're right. That draft specifically, that 2020 draft, really made him seem a lot more relatable.
Sure.
Because he was doing what the rest of us were doing.
Right.
We're trying to pick players from our houses. And that's what he was doing.
He was doing the same thing.
And how he got progressively more casual as the days went on.
Well, and whoever had the idea, hey, why don't we bring your recliner down? And the fact that he went along with it was quite funny.
Yeah. I thought it was really good. It was very well done by the NFL as a whole.
Yeah.
And him being a good sport about it and really kind of getting into it, it was a nice touch.
It was a nice touch. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to ask him three questions, and they're all related to the stadium. And so we'll let you hear these right now on the OTP, special for the OT people. The last one is about the Super Bowl. Spoiler alert, he's not going to give a direct answer. But see if you don't think this is very positive towards Nashville. Here's the commissioner, Roger Goodell, on the OTP. Commissioner, in your experiences with teams that get a new stadium, what do these venues do for the cities and their fans?
Well, I really, there's an economic driver to them. I think they create activity. I think they create events that can produce economic. But to me, it's much beyond that. I think really they become signature pieces in a community. And they are really that platform for every community to show a global audience what's going on in that community. And while they'll bring in new events and be able to do the same thing, I think that's really the core of what they do. And this is going to be an opportunity here to now to show that Nashville is continuing to grow, it's continuing to progress, it's continuing to expand, and it's showing people what a great community this is.
If you take it a step further and talk about Amy Adams-Strunk and how this is a next step in her journey of taking us to a different level, how impressed are you with what she's been able to do and the fact that this stadium and the look of it and the feel of it is so special?
Well, Amy cares deeply about this community, and she keeps really feels deeply about the Titans and creating a world-class organization, ultimately, but one that reflects well on this community. And that's the core of what drives her. I know that would make her father proud. Her father felt the same way about this community without a lot of knowledge. But with this short period of time, he realized how special this community really was. And Amy's just like, she's raised the bar. She's created a new vision. She's worked with everybody here in this community and listened to them and said, here's what we want to do, here's what you want to do, let's do it together. And to me, when you get that public-private partnership and that kind of leadership, something special is going to happen.
All right, last one. Got to ask you about the Super Bowl again.
Sure.
Everybody wants to know, if we build this stadium, are we going to get a Super Bowl in Nashville?
You know, the Super Bowl has become an incredible event. I think this community, they showed us where they raised the bar in the draft. I think they have the opportunity here to raise the bar for the Super Bowl. I think the stadium itself is an important piece of that, but it's much more behind that. It's really all the infrastructure, but more importantly, this community's enthusiasm for making this be on a global stage here. And so I look forward to that day.
That is the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, talking about the stadium, talking about Nashville. He's a Nashville fan.
Yes.
I mean, you could tell that from the 2019 draft, he is a fan.
Yep.
So does Nashville automatically get a Super Bowl if the stadium is built? The answer is not automatically, but...
I would say technically no, but...
Not automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, that sounded positive to me. That was how I took it.
I think the NFL, like the league office as a whole, is a fan of Nashville. The community,
oh, yeah.
What they've been able to do, how they showed up for the draft. I like our odds.
Okay. Well said by you.
Thank you.
Finally, the number one question that I've been getting, you've been getting, Rhett Brine's been getting, Jim Wyatt's been getting, everybody associated with us, Burke Nihil's been getting, is how do we get a Super Bowl here if you're only going to seat 60,000?
Mm-hmm.
Now, OT people, listen carefully and share this with your friends. How can we host a Super Bowl if we only hold 60,000 in the new stadium? This is from Peter O'Reilly. He is the NFL Executive Vice President for Club Business and League Events. I was told I could share this with you.
Okay.
The OT people. The National Football League is excited about the team, the city of Nashville, and the state of Tennessee reaching this point as they look ahead to a new stadium for the Tennessee Titans and the community. While there is still more work to do in the process, this new stadium will undoubtedly create a first-class experience for NFL fans. The Super Bowl host city selection process is a thorough one, guided by the league's fan engagement and major events advisory committee and voted upon by full ownership. A number of factors are considered when selecting a Super Bowl host, including stadium quality, local venues and hotels, participating team experience, vision for fan activities, and more. Now listen to this, and this is a quote. There is no minimum stadium capacity that precludes a stadium from hosting the Super Bowl, America's most watched event.
Interesting.
I'm going to say it again. Peter O'Reilly, NFL Executive Vice President, Club Business and League Events. There is no minimum stadium capacity that precludes a stadium from hosting the Super Bowl, America's most watched event. End quote.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Well, just trying because... There, it was in place at one time, but it hasn't been, I'm told, for a decade. I don't know the exact time it went away, but it is not there anymore. It used to be 75,000, but it has not been that way for quite some time.
Well, there was the Super Bowl in Dallas where they had all of the seating issues, and they said they could hold more than they actually could hold,
yeah.
And that was a little goofy. And I think ever since that... You never heard about that again.
So this is not a thing.
Right.
The reason the Titans want to build it at 60 is because it's going to make it the most high-quality venue in terms of experience, we hope, anywhere.
Right. You'll be able to see.
Everything.
They're good seats.
You'll be able to have lots of experiences. You'll be able to get places from where you sit. if you want to do the standing room thing, if you want to do a club, if you want to do something with a suite. I mean, if you just want a regular great end zone seat, building it this way will make it the highest quality for every person who walks through the door.
Which is a big deal.
That's how you get the Super Bowl,
yeah.
Not a number. And so as we've tried to talk about it, I'm not saying the people who think this are way off base. It did used to be like that. It is not anymore.
It's not.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing. That's the best way to say it.
So OT people,
it's going to be okay.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
Yes.
And we are fired up about it.
We're fired up about it. And I mean, so the Super Bowl, if Nashville were to get a Super Bowl, the next three are laid out. And so, I mean, it would be 2029 or 30, I would think, before you could get, you'd be into the 60s in terms of Super Bowl number, because we've got 57 coming up this year in Glendale, Arizona.
57 already?
57.
Man, I remember being so fired up about 50. This is epic.
I remember Super Bowl 10 vividly. Dallas and Pittsburgh.
Mike.
21-17 in Miami. That was the Lynn Swan
game. You say
things
like that, and it makes it so easy. It's
I know,
too
it's
easy.
But I'm not afraid of that.
It's too easy.
I don't sit and claim to be 28 years old.
I'm not even swinging at it. It's so easy.
I don't claim to be 28 years old. People know. Hey, people who've been listening to the radio know.
That you're not 28 years old?
That I'm not 28 years old. I wasn't even 28 years old when I got the job.
That's true.
I was young.
Yes, you were, Mike.
Younger.
You were young.
Ger.
You were young, yes. Mike.
All right. So again, to repeat, excited this weekend, Titans, Texans. This is going to be a dogfight. We know it's going to be a dogfight. We've talked about the Texans and the challenge they will pose. We understand what has to happen.
3:05
Central Time, 2 o'clock Titans countdown on any of your favorite Titans radio stations. We hope you will tune in and be part of the show.
Especially those of you in Alabama at this cool store.
At Scottsboro, Alabama.
Yes.
You thought I was making that up, didn't you?
No, I didn't think you were making it up, but I wanted to kind of see what was what, and now this is my afternoon.
So you've got the rest of the day to figure out what you would want from there.
This is unbelievable, and I'm looking at, there's a clearance section.
Isn't it all a clearance section, really?
I mean, right.
Jeanette Morley will go with you. Like, she may even drive you down there.
Oh my gosh, there's a surface on here. What in the world?
A surface?
Like a Microsoft Surface, not like a tabletop.
Like they have a floor?
He doesn't claim to be a young man, folks.
I knew what you meant. But you're bringing it up for an audience that can't see what you're talking about.
You can't see what I'm talking about.
But you should have said Microsoft Surface to be clear, because this is not a visual medium.
It sure is.
The OT people know it. By the way, thank you for subscribing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for putting up with us. We don't know why you do it.
but glad you do.
And Farm Bureau Health Plans is glad you do it. And we are very thankful. So for Ashley Farrell, for Jeanette Morley, and for the person who's on her way to Scottsboro, Alabama right now as we speak, Amy Wells, Mike Heath says, thanks for listening to the OTP.